Thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you. So anybody got any weed? Weeds. Weeds in their garden. Weeds like wheat. Tares. Oh. You'll never guess what the pastor asked me this Sunday. You know, you don't have to look far to find conflict in the world. Isn't that the truth? There's conflict between nations, conflict in the Middle East, conflict even political rivalries, conflict between spouses, conflict between parents and children, conflict, are you ready? This might be a surprise, conflict in the church. Oh, conflict in the world, you can kind of understand, you get it. Conflict in the church, it's another story. We understand conflict between political rivalries and different opponents on different, but conflict between church leaders? We can even understand sibling rivalry even. But should there be conflict between God's children? Jesus kind of tells this parable of the weeds to explain why. You know, there's conflict within the church, conflict in the kingdom, conflict in the world. Currently. Always has been, always will be. And so when I looked at the passage, I just kind of, I soaped the passage. It's a good way for you to be able to, like, look at scripture, by the way, if you don't know what that is, S-O-A-P, soap. So you have a scripture, and an O is to observe what's going on. You're not making any A, application, and then you can pray about it. So you just observe, like, what's going on in the passage. You're just reading the passage, not trying to think it through and process, and what does that mean? No. What's happening? It's just an observation of the story that's being told, right? There's a garden. It's a field that's being sown into. Some seeds are good, some are bad. There's a harvest of the field. Jesus is talking about his kingdom. There's wheat and weeds. There's angels in there. The Son of Man, reference even to himself. There's gnashing of teeth, burning in a furnace. There's the righteous will shine like the sun. There's an enemy that hates us. Not everyone seems to go to heaven. Hell is a bad place, probably to be avoided. God is the only one who way and provide escape from the gnashing of teeth and the burning. And then you can start to like, how do I apply that? What does that even? So you observe some stuff. Oh, that's cool. All that stuff's going on. Yeah. So I never have a scenario with like what to preach. It's more the scenario what not to, right? What do you want to focus on? Because there's a lot of stuff that's usually going on in scripture all the time. What do you want to focus on? So one of the things here is there's an enemy of God. Jesus is pretty clear in a parable in the story. There's an enemy of God. Jesus said that. And so do you believe that? Do you believe the things that Jesus says? He's telling a story. The kingdom of heaven is like this. You know, the kingdom of God is like this. There's an enemy. And in that passage, in that parable, the enemy sows seeds. The Son of Man sows seeds. The enemy sows seeds. Enemies of God. Enemies of the church. Enemies of his children. Enemies of Christ. And that enemy will stop at nothing to stir up conflict, right? To bring up the weeds in the midst of all the wheat. He'll do things like pick at old wounds, remind you of your past that you think you've been forgiven of just because you claim the blood of Christ. He will like to pick up and gnaw at you about your own self-righteousness, how good you are, and so you could have judgment and hatred toward others and be justified. He'll cause confusion. He causes doubt. So I have several slides. I'll try to keep up as best I can. Any friend of God is an enemy of Satan. You could also say that any friend of Satan is an enemy of God. So choose your friends carefully. long, long ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Long before you were created. There was a battle. There was conflict. Spiritual warfare. You are now part of a spiritual battle. You are in the mix of it. We did not ask for it, God. We do not desire it. But here you are. Here you are. God creates and still creates. God is active and alive. And I want you to pay very close attention to these words. Those that like to take notes can write this down. Listen, the enemy sows seeds. The enemy does not harvest. Plant that in your brain and let it grow. Okay? While everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat. So here's your next one. Be perceptive. You have to be perceptive. The enemy came and sowed while everyone was sleeping, right? Listen, there's a spiritual warfare that's taking place. Many of you know that when I was in the military, I was a 82nd Airborne paratrooper. My specialty was NBC specialist. I was a nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare specialist. Now, what does that mean? That means I was able to test for poison water. I was able to test for contamination. I was also learned how to poison water, how to contaminate. Ever heard of vectors? You know what a vector is? A vector is an insect, a mosquito. And it's just amazing. We saw a little verbiage on this just last night. A vector is an insect. So you take a mosquito and you infect it with malaria. And then you just fly over the enemy's camp and drop the vectors. Give that about a week. See, the enemy that's sick can't fight. The enemy that's vomiting can't fight. The enemy that's fatigued can't fight. The enemy that's got a fever can't fight. And they're struggling. It's the simplest kind of form of biological warfare, or poisoning the water supply in the village where you know the enemy is camped. Chemical warfare, biological warfare. Be perceptive. Spiritual warfare, unconventional warfare. I know you think war is just dropping some bombs and pulling some triggers and shooting some bullets, but there's unconventional warfare. Spiritual warfare is unconventional warfare. The enemy's tactics may be something very difficult for you to even think about. That's why you need to be very perceptive about how the enemy attacks, how the enemy may attack, where you're the most vulnerable. And so you have to pay attention to details, Airborne. It might save your life one day. And part of that perception is understanding this. Understanding this. We are all planted together. You get that, right? The wheat and the weeds. We've all been planted together. The good and the bad. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Right? The weeds and the wheat are everywhere. Now we're all planted together. We progress together. We grow up together. Living a human life, which is what we're doing. Humans inhabit the earth. And then we all get processed. We get planted, we progress, and we get processed. I know it would be easy to just pull the meaning out of the passage about separating the wheat and the weeds and the sheep and the goat. There's a little bit more to it, I think, than that we should be able to land on a little bit more. And that is none should perish, that none would be lost. See, God is very patient. And there's a reason why he hasn't harvested yet. But what is that reason? For the safety of the wheat. It's about the believers, wrapped up with unbelievers that are all around them. Be very careful not to pull up the believer with the non-believer. Here's your next slide. Weeds confuse the appearance of who is a believer and who is not. The truth is that in church as a whole, there are among us those who say they are believers on the outside, but on the inside, they are not. They say one thing and do another. They're seen at the right places and at the wrong places. This is Jesus' words again, if you believe the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only who does the will of my Father. Many trust in heritage. Well, that's the way I was raised. I was raised Jewish, so I'm God's favorite. Well, I'm raised Catholic, so I'm okay. I got the heritage of that. Or, hey, I'm not so bad as that guy over there. I don't deserve hell, but they do. I'm not as bad as that guy, for sure. See, there's a lot of make-believe Christians. There's a lot of counterfeit Christians. We discussed last week a lot of hypocrite Christians. They can sing all the songs, they can talk all the talk, but without the Holy Spirit of God living within them, they will not change on the inside. We need personal revival. Personal revival. I know the church likes to say, oh man, can't wait for the revival to happen. And they love to text about it. Hey, haven't you heard about the revival that's going on over at the church? And there's people going out there. Revival starts right here. Personal revival. You want to see revival? Revival starts right in your heart, right in your own soul, right in your own household. It's confusing because we only see the outside appearances of people. We don't always know what it is going on the inside. See, the weeds, they look like wheat. Are you ready? The wheat can sometimes look like weeds. Confusion quickly sets in, which is very nice for the enemy's plan in his unconventional warfare tactics. It's like dressing up in the enemy soldiers, right, in a uniform and then pretending to be a friendly. You can infiltrate without even being detected. It's like spreading poison seed in the middle of the night or poisoning the water supply. If you're sleeping, you won't even know it's creeping. We all like to judge. We all like to say, who is and who isn't? Well, that's a wheat and that's a weed. That's a goat and that's a sheep. And the reality is, your perception is never so warped as when you're looking at yourself. I'm a good wheat. Mm-hmm. That's some good weed, man. Always easier to see sin in others and rationalize your own. See, we judge others by all their behavior. And we judge ourselves by our intentions. So what are we supposed to do? I mean, scriptures are even clear, you know. Hey, don't allow sin in the camp, man. You got sin in the camp. And then you got a preacher that's kind of saying things like, you know, is it come to church and get your life straight? Or is it get your life straight and come to church? It's come to church and get your life straight. I hope that's what you believe. I hope that's what you think. So what are you supposed to do about all that? You're inviting those that don't got their act together into the church to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, that's what he did with me. What's he doing with you? And so here it is. What are you supposed to do? You ready? Perhaps you don't make judgments so quickly. Perhaps you don't make judgments so quickly. Exactly when would you have kicked the Apostle Peter out of the fellowship? When he was with his disciples and he said, oh, absolutely, you're the Messiah. Jesus, oh, God has revealed that to you. Two sentences later, get thee behind me, Satan. You want the things of man. You do not want the things of God. For certain, Peter's got to go. Or, well, you know, could have hung around a little while, but certainly after he rejected Jesus Christ publicly for the first time. That was the point where you got to go, Peter, I cannot associate with you and your kind anymore. You've rejected Christ public. Well, all right, second time, maybe that point. Second time for sure, you got to go, Peter, done, man. I can't, no way, dude. You got to get your act together before I can kind of hang out. No way, dude. Three strikes, brother, you're out. You are done. I have nothing to do with you. I cannot dog you anymore. I'm done. You're out. Kick him to the curb. He's done. Exactly when would you have judged Peter correctly? At any point? At any point. You do not know the full story. God knows the full story. Let him be the judge. You observe. You be perceptive. You make sure evil doesn't come into your heart. We can look for evil intent. What seeds are being scattered? What seeds are being produced? But be careful. Maybe we shouldn't judge so fast. We got a phone call. It was a text. Text yesterday that just slammed the door into exactly that point I was trying to make. This was a man that I would have written off years ago. Years ago. Hadn't been in touch with him for years. Got in touch with him. There was a death in the family, so we get in touch with him. Hey, just wanted to express, we're sorry. How are things going? This is the man that I would have kicked to the curb. I just baptized my wife and my daughter. Bastard. I know I don't judge right. It's been proven to me. Do you think you judge right? You don't even judge yourself right. The things that you thought were so important when you were 20 and 25, now that you're 50 or 60, totally different, right? Totally different. Listen, here's your next one. Weeds tangle up the roots of real plants and impede the growth. People that aren't redeemed are going to try to tangle you up in all kinds of ways and all kinds of stuff that don't help you grow closer to the Lord. Even when someone you think is a Christian invites you to do something clearly immoral, hindering your growth as a Christian, maybe you just don't do that. Maybe you're a good weed. Maybe you just don't do that. Hey, if you just lie to your spouse, we're going to have a great time. We can go away for the weekend. I'm not sure I should be hanging out with those guys for the weekend because it's not starting off right. Maybe you should just, steal from your boss and don't worry about it. You can always cheat on your taxes. April's coming up. You don't have to worry about that. The IRS is very forgiving. No problem. Hey, you know what's really cool? You can gossip about the pastor and gossip about all the people in the church all that you want. Because you're a good weed. Resist getting tangled up in all the stuff, all the unconventional warfare. If you're not familiar with it, you best become familiar with it because you are involved in a spiritual battle. Even if someone that you trust is trying to coerce you, use the word of God. Stand on Jesus' character as your God. Be perceptive of the weeds that try to confuse you, the weeds that will try to entangle you, weeds that will pull you off the track, get you focused on other things, weeds that will stunt your growth. They don't want you to go to church. They don't want you to go to Bible study. They don't want you to pray out loud. They're trying to get you to stay where you are so they will impede your growth. They try to keep you away from goodness and keep you away from kindness, keep you away from loving on people and dogging people, offering hope and joy. Your weeds are very different than mine that are coming around all the time, that are growing up. Here's your next one. Weeds will rob you of the soil of nutrients. Unbelievers will generate all kinds of energy about focusing on what they shouldn't be doing and trying to engage you with them, dividing the church, attacking other Christians, attacking other denominations, diluting the gospel, false doctrine, gossip, backbiting leaders, complaining all the time. Man, just don't go there. Just don't go there. There's vectors buzzing all around all the time. Jesus refers to them as weeds and tares. I say they're vectors. I say they're brain drains. They will suck the energy right out of you. All the good things that you're focused on the Lord, they want you to start looking at something else. Instead, focus on the more essentials. Focus on the Word of God. Focus on the fellowship of believers. Focus on discipleship and becoming better. Worship. Put on a song and start singing and praising God, even when the fears start to come into your head. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Now, it's probably not a secret for those that know it's not a secret. But here's a little secret, okay? I think I have a slide for it. You will not be able to eliminate all the weeds around you. There's your secret. Jody, the next slide. You will not be able to eliminate all the weeds around you. There you go. That's a reality. Unless you choose to be a hermit monk in a monastery because you've chosen to isolate yourself and not invest into the world or try to influence the world, you've decided to isolate yourself out of the world. And that's not Jesus' words to us. We're in the world, we're not of the world. But you will not be able to eliminate all the weeds that are around you. So what are you going to do about that? How do you cope with that? How do you deal with that in your own spiritual walk? When you're trying to do something good and these people are bad, and you're trying to do something good and then these weeds are trying to pull you somewhere else, what do you do with that? It tells you a lot about yourself, more than it does about anyone else. You will not be able to eliminate all the distractions. Ready? But you can increase your focus. You have to increase your focus. You have to recognize the battles that are taking place so that you don't get sideswiped by the unconventional warfare. You stay focused. You're not going to be able to eliminate all the distractions. You're not going to be able to eliminate all the weeds that are around you. But there is one thing you can do. Increase your focus. What are you doing to increase your focus? See, weeds produce, there's your next slide, weeds produce no fruit, but they produce plenty of seeds. Weeds produce no fruit, but man, they got lots of seeds. The enemy loves to scatter seeds. A non-believer can be known eventually by the fact that they produce no change in character. That's kind of all you look for in people that say, I got saved when I was 13. And really, and now you're still like this? How have you progressed? See, like many weeds, non-believers, they just plant a lot of other seeds. They plant seeds of mistrust and inequity. They plant seeds of apathy, seeds of indifference, seeds of hate, division, racism, dishonesty, discouragement, negative, dark, disillusioned all the time. There's no hope in God. They're too sucked into a dark world. They haven't been pulled out of the mire. They just keep looking around at all the stuff they're stuck in when all they're doing is looking at all the weeds. They have to increase their focus and recognize we have to be observant and perceptive. We must evaluate. We must be aware that there is an enemy. Do you believe that? There is an enemy. Do you believe what Jesus said? There is an enemy, and he's sowing seeds. He's sowing seeds among the wheat. If you consider yourself the wheat, if you consider yourself Holy Spirit-filled person of God, the enemy's dropping seeds all around you. And it's very unconventional in the war. Be very, very aware. You can ill afford to fall asleep on the job. That's why the scriptures are always filled with warnings to be alert, to be sober-minded, to be aware, to be cautious. And I'm saying this one is your next one. Be patient. Be patient. Man, is it hard to be patient. The owner, listen, the owner knew that his servants could not correctly distinguish between the wheat and the weeds. Interesting. Those that are coming to do the harvesting, right? The Son of Man said, I will send my angels and they will do the harvesting. But they can't tell the difference between the wheat and the weeds. Should we pull them up now? Should we pull them up now, Lord? No, because you're going to pull up the tares. You're going to pull wheat with you. Don't do that. Not yet. It's for the safety of the believer. It's for the safety of the wheat. His servants had to exercise patience. I know it can be tough growing up around a bunch of weeds, a bunch of discouragement and negativity, people that are stuck in the mire of the world. That's all they want to live on and thrive on and talk about. And you've got your heart and your soul set on something bigger, the kingdom of God, something that brings you hope and joy and encouragement. And you don't just want to receive it, you want to give it away. I know it's tough. It's hard to soar with the eagles when you're living with a bunch of turkeys. Right? Listen, we cannot correctly judge between those that are true Christians or yet to be Christians. Our human judgment is faulty, and so we must wait patiently for God to judge. Wait patiently for God to judge. If you've learned anything possibly about your own self, you've recognized you've failed a few times along the way. You've messed up a few times along the way. You've made some mistakes a few times along the way. And then say, but God is perfect. Yeah, leave it to God. Leave it to God. I know we want to cast stones. We want to hold people to good standards. Wait. Be patient. I know we want to accuse others of all their wrongful behavior. Just look at Peter. I can't believe you do the things that you've done. I can't believe you've done the things that you've done. Just please wait and watch what God's going to be able to do. Let the Holy Spirit convict. Let the Holy Spirit convert. I know we want peace in the world. Please wait. God brings peace. You think man's going to get it together? Wait on the Lord. The harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. So that I know I'm dangerous as a wheat. I know I'm dangerous as a pastor because I'm patient. I will dog people. I know they got bad breath and bad hair. I will dog people. I will be patient with people. I will wait on the Lord to infiltrate their lives and move in their lives. I know the enemy is going to show his ugly head. Why? Because I'm patient. I know that given enough time, everything sprouts. Everything's going to blossom out. Your kids are going to grow up and grow older, and everything's going to blossom and sprout. The good will come shining through, the bad tossed and burned. Good things come to those who wait. Heard that before? Good things come to those who wait. We must be patient for God to judge all things. Then good things will come. This is why Paul even wrote, as we urge you, brothers, be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. God's being patient with the wheat and with the weeds. Be patient with everyone. How much patience would you have had with that doubting Thomas? We've seen the Lord, Thomas. We know that he's alive. Nope, don't believe you for a second. Come on, Lord, you got to believe us. You got to understand what's happening. The Lord is alive, and we're going to do some great things. I don't know. I don't believe. You know that there's Peter and John. You know Mary. They're all trying to convince him. You know they're all trying to speak to him. You know, I will not believe until I put my finger in his side. And bam, Jesus delivers. Jesus delivers. Peter didn't have a great sermon. Mary wasn't able to convince him. Jesus convinced that doubting man. It's going to take Jesus because he knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what that guy needs that you would have cut off years ago to bring him to a place of redemption and reconciliation to God. The Lord knows exactly. Leave it to the Lord. I don't think you got a clue. As smart as you think you are, but I've got the spirit of discernment. Yeah, well, discern this. God's smarter than you. Be prepared. Here's your next one. Trying to bring it home, folks. Be prepared. The weeds were able to pretend to be wheat for a while. They're able to pretend to be wheat for a while. And so it is with men and women who conceal their true nature, so long as, because eventually their sin always finds them out. Everything blossoms out. Just be patient. Everything blossoms out. God takes care of it all. In this parable, Jesus clearly teaches that there will be a day of judgment when the wheat are separated from the weeds, the righteous from the wicked, the pretender from the real deal. And in that day, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be weeping. There will be emotional distress. There will be gnashing of teeth. There will be physical, spiritual harm. And why does God just continue to allow evil, bad people to stay around? If he was a good God, he'd just take them out. Mm-hmm. Wheat and weeds grow together, and everyone produces their own fruit. He desires that none should come to perish, that all would come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's his desire. And he's patiently, patiently waiting. He's so much more patient than you and I. And he's such a better judge of the soul and the heart than you and I. Let's allow God to be God and do what God can do. I know this. We need the patience of the farmer who waited until just the right time to be able to harvest. God is waiting till just the right time to harvest and remove the weeds. It's going to happen if you believe what Jesus says. And then what's going to happen? Then the righteous will shine like the new day sun. Then the righteous will shine like a new day sun. And then you get a taste of Eden. John would call it paradise. We say things like heaven. Then we would have an understanding of a new earth, a new heaven, a new kingdom of God, where there are no weeds, there is no death, there is no disease. God can do that. God will do that for the righteous so that they may shine brightly. Today we have the communion table in front of us. And today I would just ask that you don't have to be a member of this church or anything like that, but that you have accepted Jesus Christ and the work upon the cross, that you've received his work, that the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're there, make that your profession of faith today as you partake in communion with us as a family of believers and a fellowship. If I can have the elders come forward, please. The story's fairly familiar to most of us. He had taken bread, he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take this and eat this, for this is my body, broken for you." Gentlemen. Thank you, sir. 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 Thank you. Mr. Bates, can you turn around and say a little prayer for us? Similar manner. He took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Take this, drink this. This is a cup of my blood spilled out for all mankind for the forgiveness of your sins, signifying and sealing an everlasting covenant between mankind and God." Again, one more time, brother, if you would.
Take me.
about that, just the voices again. I surrender all.
I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Father, indeed, we are so very grateful as we partake together. May we remember that our sins are forgiven. Wash us clean of our judgment. Wash us clean of our past. Let all things be bright and new because we are in Christ. In his name we partake together. Let us partake. Heavenly Father, unite us together as a body of believers, that we would bring you honor and glory. As we do these things in remembrance of who you are, may you continue to work in us and through us, that we might bring the glory of Christ to all the world. In the name of your Son, we would pray. Amen.